face, as if some hope had entered into him like a sword, intolerable. "I cannot find the way," he said. "My lord, I cannot find the way." "Maybe thou shalt," Ged said, and embraced him, and then went forward. Thorion stood still at the crossroads behind him. As they went on, it seemed to Arryn that in this timeless dusk there was in truth neither forward nor backward, neither east nor west, no way to go. Was there a way out? He thought how they had come down the hill, always descending, no matter how they turned. And still in the dark city the streets went downward, so that to return to the wall of stones they need only climb, and at the hill's top they would find it. But they did not turn. Side by side they went on. Did he follow Ged, or did he lead him? They came out of the city. The country of the innumerable dead was empty. No tree or thorn or blade of grass grew in the stony earth under the unsetting stars. There was no horizon, for the eye could not see so far into the gloom. But ahead of them, the small, still stars were absent from the sky over a long space above the ground, and this starless space was jagged and sloped like a chain of mountains. As they went on, the shapes were more distinct. High peaks, weathered by no wind or rain. There was no snow on them to gleam in starlight. They were black. The sight of them struck desolation into Arryn's heart. He looked away from them. But he knew them. He recognized them. His eyes were drawn back to them. Each time he looked at those peaks, he felt a cold weight in his breast, and his nerve came near to failing. Still, he walked on, always downward, for the land fell away, descending toward the mountain's feet. At last he said, "My lord, what are—" He pointed at the mountains, for he could not go on speaking. His throat was dry. "They border on the world of light," Ged answered, "even as does the wall of stones. They have no name but pain. There is a road across them. It is forbidden to the dead. It is not long, but it is a bitter road." "I am thirsty," Arryn said, and his companion answered, "Here they drink dust." They went on. It seemed to Arryn that his companion's gait had slowed somewhat, and sometimes he hesitated. He himself felt no more hesitation, though the weariness had not ceased to grow in him. They must go down. They must go on. They went on. Sometimes they passed through other towns of the dead, where the dark roofs made angles against the stars, which stood forever in the same place above them. After the towns was the empty land again, where nothing grew. As soon as they had come out of a town, it was lost in the darkness. Nothing could be seen, before or behind, except the mountains that grew ever nearer, towering before them. To their right, the formless slope fell away as it had done. How long ago? When they crossed the wall of stones? "What lies that way?" Arryn murmured to Ged, for he craved the sound of speech. But the maid shook his head. "I do not know. It may be a way without an end." In the direction they went, the slope seemed to be growing less and always less. The ground under their feet gritted harshly like lava dust. Still they went on, and now Arryn never thought of returning, or of how they might return. Nor did he think of stopping, though he was very weary. Once he tried to lighten the numb darkness and weariness and horror within him by thinking of his home, but he could not remember what sunlight looked like, or his mother's face. There was nothing to do but to go on. And he went on. He felt the ground level under his feet, and beside him Ged hesitated. Then he too stopped. The long descent was over. This was the end. There was no way further, no need to go on. They were in the valley directly under the mountains of pain. There were rocks underfoot and boulders about them, rough to the touch, like scoria. It was as if this narrow valley might be the dry bed of a river of water that had once run here, or the course of a river of fire, long since cold, from the volcanoes that reared their black, unmerciful peaks above. He stood still, there in the narrow valley in the dark, and Ged stood still beside him. They stood like the aimless dead, gazing at nothing, silent. Aran thought, with a little dread, but not much, "We have come too far." It did not seem to matter much. Speaking his thought, Ged said, "We have come too far to turn back." His voice was soft, but the ring of it was not wholly muted by the great, gloomy hollowness around them, and at the sound of it, Aran roused a little. Had they not come here to meet the one they sought? A voice in the darkness said, "You have come too far." Aran answered it, saying, "Only too far is far enough." "You have come to the dry river," said the voice. "You cannot go back to the wall of stones. You cannot go back to life." "Not that way," said Ged, speaking into the darkness. Aran could hardly see him, though they stood side by side, for the mountains under which they stood cut out half the starlight, and it seemed as if the current of the dry river were darkness itself. "But we would learn your way." There was no answer. "We meet as equals here. If you are blind, Cobb, yet we are in the dark." There was no answer. "We cannot hurt you here. We cannot kill you. What is there to fear?" "I have no fear," said the voice in the darkness. Then slowly, glimmering a little as with that light that sometimes clung to Ged's staff, the man appeared, standing some way upstream from Ged and Aran, among the great, dim masses of the boulders. He was tall, broad-shouldered, and long-armed, like that figure which had appeared